Well, maybe while the kids are getting ready, turn to someone you don't know, but we all know each other. It's like a bit odd. I must say, in many regards, I mean, if I look around the room, I mean, we pretty much know you all fairly well, and for me that's like quite cool in a sense. I mean, obviously it's great to have new people and visitors. It's always wonderful that when God adds to us, but sometimes when it's like this, it's like you can just be more yourself with the people you know. Don't you often find that you can just be more relaxed? And so it's so comforting for me just when I look around this room to just go, man, I'm with mates, I'm with friends, with people, fellow followers and lovers of Jesus. And for me, that's just so amazing that we get to do life together. We get to build, we get to love Jesus together. And we get to see his kingdom advanced. And so, I really do want to say that I am concerned, I will say, that there are a lot of guys missing. I know it's Mother's Day, and I know some guys, but I really want to encourage you, look around the room, notice who's in your community that's not here, and just give them a call and see if they're okay. It's not like this, really, you got to hear the heart chairs. I know sometimes, you know, we so easily slip into this rut of just, I only come to church, when it's easy or when I don't, when there's nothing. But I do get concerned when I see a couple of faces regularly not coming. And I think as fellow saints, we should also be concerned for our brothers and sisters when we don't see them. And so to phone and follow them and not just say, hey, where were you? And if you know that they're not coming regularly for whatever reason, they say, man, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. Don't forget neglecting these times together. These are important times. And it's not just because I want to give good numbers to Andrew and the guys in Cape Town. I mean, really, it's not, but because every single one of us counts and every one of us is part of it. And I don't want guys to miss out. Because to be honest, an army that is fuller and better and stronger is so much more effective than just a couple of oaks kind of thing. And I believe God has called us to be an army that is going to take God's kingdom and advance God's kingdom. But I tell you, we need our snipers. And when our snipers not here, kind of thing. I've been watching a series called The SEAL Team. And there's the sniper division. There's the canine unit. There's the bomb specialist. You know, there's all these guys that have different parts to play in the team. And I tell you, that team, when that sniper's not in his position and doing his thing, or even when the drone, I mean, believe it or not, the drone is part of that team as well. When the drone's sussing out and can tell them that there's enemy combatants, 11 o'clock kind of thing. The guys are, they need their team. You know, we need our teammates. We need one another. They need us just as much as we need them. And so I want to encourage you, look around the room, give them a call, and not out of luck. Where were you? Be careful. I mean, I know we sometimes, some of us have that approach. Waar was jy by kerk vandag? Waar was jy nie? Hoekom was jy nie daar so nie? No, it's love, and it's really out of a genuine love and a concern of going, hey man, we missed you. Yes, are you okay? I've noticed that you haven't been coming quite regularly. It's been like about 2-3 weeks now that you haven't been at church. What's up? We need to live front-footed like that, not just because it's checks and balances, but because we really love one another. I mean, I don't check up on you because I've got a, right, you know, it was a church today, David, Bryden, Corin. Here we go. Okay, then that's my report. I do it because I genuinely love you guys. And I'm like, I'm concerned and I'm worried that maybe something of your heart has grown cold, or maybe something has crept in and it's like, actually, we don't really need church, or we don't need the family. And so for me, and not only for me, but for us as saints and as believers and fellow followers of Jesus, we've got to be looking out for one another and saying, hey, you're right. And then you'll hear like, you know what? Ugh, I just didn't feel like church today. It was too hard. It was just, we've had a busy weekend. The ladies meeting yesterday, it drained me. It drained me. Yeah. But why are we here? And I think Dan preached so well last week. I listened to the preach as well, just to turn the hope set before us. He endured the cross. That, you know, come participating. Are you a pot? I've got my sweets. So we can throw out sweets today. I'm not going to throw out sweets today again. Yeah, why not? I'm eating those sweets. Nikki said I'm getting fat. She looked at me today and said, babes, you know, round is a shape. So I said, I'm getting in shape, babe. She says, round is a shape. Checking on the dads, like, going, seriously, Chad, are you going there? So, why do I feel God wants to do something significant this morning? Well, I honestly believe he dropped something in my heart, and I think it always, you know, often it comes out of our own lives. We look at what God's doing in our lives and how that's often, especially in an eldership position, and I'm very aware that we need to watch our lives so carefully, because we break things open over you guys, and we need to be accountable, even more accountable, in terms of our lives and what God's doing. And I've got to be honest with you, the last couple of weeks with Nix and I has been a bit girof. We've been boxing a little bit. But something changed, and something happened this last week in Cape Town, and God changed. But I kept on asking God, why are we at each other? Kind of, we just done a marriage course, for goodness sake, you know? Like, we should be great now. But I realized sometimes what has got us this far is not enough to get us further. And I think sometimes things that we've let slide and things that have been acceptable and we've just sort of just turned a blind eye to and carried on, actually I felt God saying that actually what has been the standard up until now is not enough anymore for us personally, and he wants us to up our game. And why? Because I believe God is doing something here specifically. Really, he is. I believe it in all my heart. I know it. It's not just, I'm just trying to, what they say, Will's got a good saying. He says, throw sugar to the birds or cheese to the fork-tailed drongers. I've been doing that. You've been doing it as well, Hein. Stick out your hand and the fork-tailed drongers come. I don't want to just throw cheese to the fork-tailed drongers right now. But I really believe God has placed us, positioned us for something significant. And I know that in order for us to walk in that, he needs to change some things in me. And he needs to change some things in us, and he needs to change some things in you. And how many of us are afraid of change? Thanks for your honesty. I think more of us than we realize. You know that, say, depends what the change is. But how do you know that actually a fear of change is actually a condition? I read a scientific, or I don't know if it was a scientific journal or an abstract, or somebody in the science field that was on some magazine. Okay, they've given it a name, believe it or not, fear of change. Metathesiophobia. Meta being change, thesia, don't know what that means, phobia being fear. Metathesiophobia, the fear of change. And how's this? Some of the studies have actually shown that a fear of change can actually diminish your will to live. That's quite hectic. I was like, what? That it's actually a physical condition, that if you fear change so much and it grips you, that you actually, like, any change just like freaks you out, it actually could diminish your capacity and your desire to live, even. I mean, that's at the depth of it. I was like, yo, please, Jesus, never let us get there, kind of thing. And there was a study done a couple of years ago, and it just goes to show how we as humans are so resistant to change and are so comfortable with what we know. So how's this for a little study they did? They took two groups of people, and they took them into a gallery, and they said that painting on the wall was painted in 1965. 1905. And the guys were like, wow, and they looked at it. It's amazing. It's like incredible. Look at that. Look at the color. Look at the textures. And there was great debate and just philosophy about this piece of artwork. They were told it was painted in 1905. They took another group of people into that art gallery with the same picture, and they told them it was painted in 2005. And they looked at it and thought, it's okay. Just the belief that painting had been around for longer was a bit of an understanding for them. They trusted that it was of more worth and more value, and because it wasn't new, it was something of great been around for over 100 years kind of thing. How's that, eh? That just a group of people, I mean, it's a simple study kind of thing, where people just, where something was older, there was more trust, more confidence in its authenticity of its artistic whatever. And the younger, the people that believed it to be younger was like, it's just a painting kind of thing. It's nothing great. And so that resistance when something new just freaks us out, and when it messes with our minds, I mean, suddenly we want that which is comfortable. We want that which is just more familiarity. But I've realized that there's another aspect to having a fear of change. And that for us as a couple, because I must be honest, I've realized one thing in our lives is that the only constant is change. Okay. In our lives specifically, God has upped and moved us a lot. So if there's one constant in our life, it's change. But you know what we came, and I'm not talking about change of lifestyle or where we're living or that kind of thing, but there was something that God touched in our hearts, and he constantly does. And it's something that we have to fight, is that fear that we won't change. And so I want to maybe pose that question to you guys. I mean, I think we all, let's get personal here kind of thing. Let's not look at, like, all of us want to change and become more like, I mean, that's the point of being a Christian. It's to become more like Jesus, not so? I hope I'm not alone. We all, being a follower of Jesus means is that we're gonna change. I mean, let's see, Scripture says that, and we can put up 2 Corinthians, verse 18 of chapter 3. I'm using the big writing, because I'm not gonna succumb to these things yet. Yes, I got glasses, because I can't read my Bible anymore. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And we all, let's read it together. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, I realized that is the will of the Father, is that we would be transformed into his image from one glory to the next. And I tell you, I have had a fear. Nix and I have struggled with, what if we never change? How many of us are sitting here this morning going, what if I never change? What, you know, there we go. Thank you for your honesty. I know this is going to cut to our heart, because this cuts to my heart, is what if I never change, God? What if I'm going to be stuck with my anger? What if I'm going to be stuck with my bad habits? What if I never change? And I tell you, it can sometimes grip us. And I remember sitting in bed with Nix, and we were just talking, and she just looked at me and said, babes, what if we never change? What if this is us? What if this is now the new you and me? I was like, no, I'm not going to accept that. I don't want to accept. And so there's this real fear that I'm just going to be this person. And I realized, man, there are many of us sitting there going, I don't think I'll ever change. I don't think Jesus can change me. Am I the only one? Thank you. I know that there are many of us that feel that way. And I really just felt this morning that Jesus actually wanted to come and minister to us. And so I'm probably not going to preach much. I'm just going to share a little bit. But I've been praying and asking that we would, in a time of worship, respond to him. And yes, it does come with a revelation and understanding. And I'm going to give us a couple of pointers, because there are some things that we can do. But we've got to start trusting in Jesus that he's going to change us. He wants to change us. I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that he wants to change you? Do you really believe that? Is there anyone that doesn't believe that? Be honest. So you all believe he wants to change you. Okay. Do you believe he can change you? Does anyone believe he can't? That this is it. I think there's less of us there because I think, so there is an understanding that Jesus can change us and he wants to change us. Let me read some more scriptures just to solidify the fact that he's definitely intent on us being changed into his likeness and into what he wants. Romans 12, and he has a lovely one that illustrates, it's a verse that it illustrates God's desire for us to be transformed and renewed. It says, come, let's read it together. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is his good and acceptable and perfect. Let's read another one, because this one, many of us, we lose heart, we get discouraged, we get frustrated, we go, seriously, is God ever going to do this? 2 Corinthians 4:16, come on. So we do not lose heart. Let's say it again. Do not lose heart. Carry on. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Come on. These are bodies. My friend Danelle is dying of cancer. She's 35, 34 years old. She's terminal. Unless God does a miracle, she's going to die. She has a 2-year-old daughter, 36-year-old husband. Paul lost his sister weeks ago, Paul and Lucille, you know Paul and Lucille. He lost his sister to cancer. Young husband, 2 kiddies. Our bodies are wasting away. Death is inevitable. We can't escape death. We can't escape it. I know yesterday Becky was like, oh, my hips and oh, my back. And she's like full of aches and pains and from ballet or whatever. Hadn't done ballet for a week. Our bodies are frail. They're wasting away. But look at that. Our inner nature is being renewed. Renewed. Come on. The outer's fading and going that way, but the inner nature is going this way. Isn't that amazing? And why do we lose heart? If that's the truth of Scripture, why do we lose heart? Why do we sit there and go, I'm never going to change. I'm going to be stuck like this. I'm going to battle with lust forever. I'm going to battle with smoking forever. I'm going to battle with anger forever. I'm never going to change. My marriage is a mess. It's always going to be like this. I mean, that's what we were kind of saying. It's like, we're always going to be, look, it wasn't a huge mess. We weren't about to leave each other, but we were just battling to find each other. And for me, I need to find my wife quickly. I need to find her. I need to communicate. We need to be on the same page super quickly kind of thing. Our lives are too fast paced and there's too much happening for us to go and leave a daze without us communicating, without us understanding each other, without us just, and I said, it's like, is it ever going to change? Am I ever going to stop this sinful thing that I keep on getting caught in? Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Jesus, come and transform us. Come and transform us. You know, the amazing thing about how God works and I believe this is, it is his work and he does do it, but there's things that we can do. And I don't want to say we can help Jesus because that just sounds like he needs our help, but he really doesn't actually. But I think sometimes he's waiting for us to make certain decisions and choices before he actually steps in. And I think that sometimes where we get stuck is that we're not willing to actually humble ourselves. We've grown up with an understanding of this is how I am and fud it or floss it. This is me. That's a very typical South African kind of response. Once, I think, and it comes out of our heritage. I mean, most of us come out of a Dutch or French background of some sorts, or Greek. Thank you. We do. I have Greek blood in me, but I've also got Dutch blood in me, or Afrikaans blood in me, which comes from Dutch or Germany, Holland, France. Those were the settlers. Those were the guys. And so, ons moet vasbyjong. We've got to survive. I mean, that was in, you know, we had to push through. We had to come over the mountain and go and find new lands. I mean, have you guys ever seen the tracks in the rocks where the ox wagon went? Has anyone seen that? I've seen it a few times. There's a couple of places actually. Craddock Peak here, Craddock Pass actually, which is, you've got Otanikwa, Montague, and the old Craddock Pass. I don't know if you ever knew there was a pass there, but the old Craddock Pass from the one side, you can see the Oosavaa Spura. from Cape Town side as well. If you come up out of Solari's Pass, just to the left of Solari's Pass, there's a Clan Valley. I've run up that mountain, and those gorges into the mountain are Dik Yong, where those Ossewa went up. And so there was a steadfastness. They were embracing change back then. They were leaving. But then I think what happened is they found these beautiful lands that, where they just said, this is us, we're not going to change no more because we've left change. And so it suddenly cemented, and there was this hardness that set in. And I think that has pervaded and prevailed into our lives today, where there's a hardness that comes of going, this is me, accept it, you either like it or you leave. Like, this is what you get, this is what you bought, this is what you married. This is who I am. Accept it or leave it. And actually, I think that's an arrogance and a pride that actually only can start with us. The word says you need to humble yourself. If you don't, the word says, the rock will crush you. Jesus, we need to humble ourselves. And I've seen, all those things about pride comes before a fall and humble yourself and like all those things. Honestly, men, women, we need to humble ourselves. We need to be humble. We need to be soft in our hearts and go, Jesus, will you change me? And I honestly believe there was, even in this marriage, I know that there's a part of, I don't want to change. Why must I change? You're the one that's got the issue. Hey, husbands, can you agree? You look at your wife and say, it's not me, it's you. You're the one with it. If you did it this way, then I would be fine. How's that one for a line? If you responded that way, then I'd be okay. And the wife says, no, but if you just did that, then I would be like this. No. Arrogance. Stubbornness. God wants to produce fruit in our lives. He wants to bring fruit. He wants to bring good fruit in our lives. And so just a couple of points that I want to just bring to your attention. And I love gardening. The guys that know me, I enjoy working in the garden, and trees are always a great analogy for what happens. And because the Bible speaks a lot about fruit and vines and grapes and figs and pomegranates, olive trees, and Adam, come on, he was a gardener. He was the first horticulturalist in the Bible. Horticulturalist. Adam, he loved gardening. So I love it. And so I look at these things. So firstly, how can we produce fruit how can God change us, actually? How can we produce good fruit instead of this bad fruit that's really sitting there the whole time? Well, I think first it's the thing of humility. Let's put that as number one, humility, humbling ourselves. And I know as a gardener, in order for that tree that is sitting there, and I'm a bit impatient. Ask Nikki, I pulled out a rose tree yesterday that wasn't flowering or bearing any leaves. You would have been very upset with me. It was just sitting there. And she said, babes, did you really have to do that? I was like, yeah, I was impatient. Just pull out the thing. Throw it away. We'll get another one. Kind of thing. That's me. I want results now. Hey? It's in the rubbish bin. Sorry, I cut it up. It's gone. Yeah. She tried to stop me. But the point is, if you're wanting a tree to start bearing fruit and good fruit, you've got to loosen the soil around a little bit. You've just got to aerate that soil. Now, there are different schools of thought, but my school of thought here is that I need to, let's not go there. Thank you, Stefani. And I know there's a farmer's here like, no, you mustn't touch the soil. No. For me, the soil needs to be soft. It needs to be ready to receive the stuff. All right. No, you know what? Yes. My rose died because it wasn't getting any water, actually. Which brings me to my next point. Basically, why does the soil need to be ready for us to receive these things? I mean, me even talking here, you could be sitting there going, not going to listen, kind of thing. And that's because there's a hardness of your heart. We've hardened our hearts. Why? Because we fear change. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want to disappoint. We don't want to let down others. We don't want to let ourselves down. So we've hardened our hearts. We've let ourselves down before. And so we sit there with this protective barricade, and it's going to take a what's the sniper rifle to penetrate that metal, that 50 caliber. It's going to take that to get through us, kind of thing, you know? I tell you, we've become hard. And even in our surrender to Jesus, we might have given our lives to Jesus and surrendered and repented. I mean, and John and I have been chatting. He's got a preach, and I'm probably going to tie into this in a couple of weeks' time. Maybe take it back a few steps in a sense, but in terms of repentance and how we need to start there and what it means to truly repent. But our hearts have become so hard that actually God can't even get in. Can't even, like, we don't hear him anymore. We don't. Why? It's because we've just become so blasé. Honestly, part of Nikki, you're saying, babe, it feels like you're not hearing me. And why? It's because my heart had just become a little bit callous towards her. I mean, we know what calluses are. The farmers amongst us, the guitar players, tips of their fingers get really calloused and hard. We know what it's like. We know what a callus is. Some of us have got really hard skin on our feet, and you can trap up a during and niks maak jou seer nie. Because the skin's hard, and really, we become like that. Our hearts have become hard. We need to soften our hearts, and we need to be vulnerable. We need to be open. We need to be real. We need to be honest. If we're not going to be honest, I have to be honest. I could have been hard, and I could have just denied it and carried on and said, that's just your issue. I have to be honest. I have to own it. I have to own it. So, loosen the soil around your hearts. Allow God's roots to penetrate. Allow God's word. And that's how we water. I mean, my rose bush died because I wasn't really watering. It was under the eaves of the house, and I realized that one's getting water, that one's not, and that's why it's died. Because we're not allowing God's word to water us. How many of you know when you're not reading? I mean, I know when I'm not spending time in the word, I fall a bit durug. Suddenly get a bit blasé and a little bit calloused, eh? Because I'm not spending time in his word. We need to be faithful and diligent with that. Prayer. We need to be faithful and diligent in our prayer life, guys, our personal prayer life, not just the Wednesday mornings when a couple of us guys get together, and that is a value. We need to be devoted to prayer, and not only just in meetings, but in family times and just getting together, praying for our wives, praying for our children, reading the word in prayer, those things, so important. And then we need to fertilize that soil, and I love this thing because the fertilizer is spending. I mean, what does it mean? It's who do you really associate with and who do you spend time with? Are you spending time with people that encourage you and build you up and point you to Jesus and actually speak about the same values as you do? Because so often we hang around people that could be a little bit callous themselves, a little bit hardened, their hearts, maybe their hearts even hardened towards church. We need to be careful that we don't spend too much time with people that have a totally different value system to us. And I'm not saying us as Josh Jen, because I know that sometimes there's a mistake we make. We say, this is Josh Jen value. No, this is New Testament biblical value. All right, this is not Josh Jen stuff. This is the word of God kind of thing. And we need to just change our language sometimes, because I think so often we go, oh, that's how Josh Jen do it. Oh, that's how Josh Jen do it. That's how we do it in Josh. No, that's what the word says. That's what the word says. Values. Values devoted to prayer. That's not a Josh Jen thing. That's the word. Devoted to this time together. That's not a Josh Jen thing. I mean, I've heard that guy says, are you oaks or those crazy oaks that just don't, people can't miss church? Huh? The Bible says I mustn't miss church. The Bible, and church is not just this. It's this and, all right? Meeting daily in one another's homes, fellowshipping, community, our community groups. And I am concerned, I will be honest, with our comm groups. I think guys have got, comm, I don't need to go to comm. That's the life that, tell you what, comm groups are important. Going to comm, being part of a community, being part of a family. When guys are celebrating birthdays together. I mean, yeah, I was, here's another, I'm being super vulnerable. I got smacked with that one by my sister-in-law this week. She says to me, oh, Chad, it's my 40th coming up in a few weeks, and we so love you guys to come. And it's going to be amazing. And I'm like, I said, Margo, I would love to be at your 40th, but you know what? You've got so many friends, and there's so many people that love you. I'm just going to be like, a person there in the room, and it's like, I'm not even going to see you guys. I'm like, so you want us to come all the way from George to come and celebrate your 40th with you, and so please hear my heart, I love you, it's great, but you know. And I walked away, and she came back to me later, and she said, can I talk to you? This is getting a snort club, a clappuccino from your sister-in-law, and what's that? She says, can I just talk to you about what you said earlier about the whole birthday thing? I said, you know, what did I do wrong now? No, she's amazing. She just put it into words. And she says, you know, when you said that really hurt. I said, what do you mean it really hurt? He says, Chad, yes, you're my brother-in-law and we love you, but I want you at my birthday. I might not speak to you at my birthday. I might not see you, but I want my favorite people there. You're one of my favorite people. I was like, thanks, Jade. You're one of my favorite people. And that, yes, I might not speak to you. I might not, we might, but I want to have worship at my wedding, I want to have worship at my birthday, and I want you to lead worship. I want you there. And I was like, I'm sorry. I realized that she wants to surround herself with people that build her up and encourage her in that moment. And that's what family's about. Why do we spend time in community? Why do we go to birthdays? Why do we put those things as priorities? Because actually they love us. Those people love us. And they know that by putting those people around them, they're going to be encouraged. And so let's use those opportunities to pray and to minister to one another and to encourage one another because they really want us there. And I know some of us struggle with that thing of like, okay, so if they didn't invite me, then they don't really want me there. Don't go down that road. That's not what they're saying. Sometimes it's just practically, it's hard. And sometimes it is what it is. But I tell you, we've got to always believe the best, and love does believe the best. But I think, I think what I'm talking about is more the response from the other side, is that when I'm like, I don't need to be there. And to be honest, like when guys say, I don't need to be at church, they won't miss me. No. It's not about you being here and just filling a chair. It's about you coming with something to give. I messaged the leaders yesterday, and I trust they've been faithful with us. I know they have because I asked them to. I said to them, guys, would you come to church tomorrow, prayed up and ready to minister? Because I believe God wants to touch things in our hearts. Someone's phone's ringing. It's you. It's for you. Okay. That's okay. It's all right. I asked the guys, I said, I'm trusting as you come to this morning, don't just come just with like, I'm here. But we come with saying, I'm expecting. That's why I asked us I would ask that we would all do that, that when we get together, whenever we get together, whether it's a birthday party, whether it's whatever it might be, that you would be going to that birthday party saying, God, what am I? I don't have money to give, or I don't have a gift to give this person, but I want a prophetic word for that person. I want a prayer for that person. I'm going way off the topic here kind of thing, but I think it's all relevant. I hope it's all relevant. No, I said I wasn't going to talk long, but it feels like I am now. Okay, let me land this quickly kind of thing, because I really want us to pray with one another. Okay, knowing that as any plant endures pests, we need to be fighting. We need to be fighting for each other. We need to be vigilant. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking him who can devour and destroy. And so, in other words, the fruit will be hindered if we succumb to the attacks of the enemy. And so we've got to be vigilant and we've got to be fighting. It doesn't stop. Okay, we can't let our guard down once. I love what Kath said as well. She was tired. Actually, we can't afford to be tired. I know it's like, but you don't understand. No. You don't understand my Jesus. I believe he's super. When we spend time in his presence, we will be revitalized. I mean, guys said to us, did you have a good rest this holiday? And I was like, yeah, we actually did, but we didn't have a holiday. We actually spent a lot of time with people, but I haven't come back feeling tired at all. I haven't got, I wish I'd rested. No, we spent time with saints. We spent time with other believers. We worshiped together. We prayed together. We came back feeling refreshed. That's what happens when you spend time with saints, with the right kind of people in the presence of God. You feel refreshed. You feel refreshed. Refreshed and refreshed. And then, the pruning is going to come. Pruning is going to come. It is inevitable. And that's, in a sense, what God has been doing here with us. And in order for the change to be, for the better fruit to be produced and for the healthier fruit, sometimes those old dead branches need to be cut off. And that sometimes is hard. Sometimes it means losing friends, losing people that we've loved and we've seen. And, to be honest, I always hate that analogy when it comes to people that God cut off. But it is a reality. Sometimes the dead branches, God has got to cut off in order for something to be more fruitful in a community or even within ourselves. that God sometimes has to just cut that thing off, and it goes, oh, it feels like you're cutting, God. You're cutting that thing. Sometimes it's a ministry. Whatever it might be, God just sometimes says, I want to cut that off because, you know what? There's something better to come. Trust in Him that actually, as He does. And as we walk in His Spirit, it says Ephesians talks about walking in step with the Spirit. I preached on that a long ago. It feels like forever ago now, about walking in step with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. I tell you what, when you keep in step with Him, when He fills us, when God fills us with His Spirit, it's in that. It's that when we are full of His Spirit, when His Holy Spirit enters us, we can do this. We can. And it's through us positioning ourselves and saying, here am I, Lord Jesus, would you come and fill me? I'm humbling myself. I'm ready. I'm spending time with you. Would you come? And you come. And remember, it's not a focus on the outside. So often we get stuck on what it looks like to people. We want to do the right things. We want to say the right things. We want to behave the right way. For some of us, it might even be, I've got to dress this certain way because I need to be acceptable. And Jesus isn't looking at the outside. He's looking at the heart. Sometimes the outside it's like a knock-on effect. It takes a while for the outside to change, but it's the inside. You know, Jesus, when He met the woman at the well, He said, I'm looking for worshipers who are in spirit and truth. He's looking for our heart in spirit and truth. Not about where we worship or how we worship or what it looks like or that mountain or this mountain. I'm looking for worshipers in spirit and in truth. He's looking at our hearts. He wants our hearts. Even Jesus said of the Pharisees, He said, you're clean on the outside, but on the inside, there's so much. You remember that story? He said to He said, you whitewash tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, full of dead men's bones. That's not what Jesus has for us. He wants us on the inside. I love what David said in the Psalms. And I want to finish with this. And then I want us to respond. And I believe because it is what the Father wants of us. And He says, David said, create, in Psalm 51 verse 10, He said, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. And that is my prayer, that as we respond to Him, and it requires a response, because if we harden our hearts, we're not going to respond. If we sit there, man, and I really have been praying, and this would be our prayers, that God, would you create in us? Would you create in me? I'm personalizing. Would He create in every one of us a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me? Why don't we just close our eyes? And maybe Laurels, can you guys come up and broaden this? I know that there are many of us who are afraid, and I'm going to try and do this in a way, because I know sometimes responding is quite tricky. Like, what am I responding to again? So I'm going to, maybe Benny, John, you guys can just help me if I don't get it right. I think we all know that change is important, and so I think there's going to be a number of us responding. Firstly, for those of us who fear change, and then another bunch of us fear that we will never change. I really felt that was who God wanted to touch this morning. And fear of change is that I'm going to disappoint myself. I've said I will do it, and I said I would do it, and I tried it, and I've done it, messed up again, and so I'm here again, and I'm going round and round the mountain. You know, I think it was Milani had a word for us. Or who was it? Irina had a word for us as a congregation. And I'm asking God that this would start to happen here, is that the short of it is that God actually wants us to stop going around the mountain. That people, us as men, I think women tend to respond easier to these things, but I'm looking at the men here, and there's guys sitting here that God doesn't want you going around the mountain anymore. That season of going round and round and round and round, and it's like you're like a dog chasing its tail kind of thing, is coming to an end. And you've got to start believing with your heart, and start as much as and surrendering and going, God, and it's like I surrender, I stand here, I worship you, Jesus. I'm asking you to change my heart. And I believe, because even with us, I mean, I was there and I was like, and my brother said to me, we were sitting talking to him, he said, Chad, you've got to ask God. I know these things. He says, you've got to ask God to show you what it is you need to change and how you can change. And I hadn't been doing that as well, because sometimes you just we get stuck in these things. And I actually haven't asked God to show me how to change or even asked Him to change me, really. I've said it in my mind. I'm like, oh, I need to change. But I actually haven't gone before Him and said, God, I need to change. I know what I need to do. And ask Him. He's a faithful God. He is a faithful God. And I mean, I think He might surprise you. I really think He might surprise you. But it's got to start here. So Lord Jesus, just as we in this place, maybe just as, so that those two, your fear of change or fear that you will never change, maybe just where you're at, if you're comfortable, go on your knees or however you want to respond to Him. If it's standing up, stand up. I mean, as I've spoken, I know this morning, as I've shared, something has just hit your heart. I mean, I'm standing because I need to change. I do. I want to change. I want to be all that God has for me. I do. And the areas that prevent me from changing. And so, Lord, I'm in my heart, I'm asking You to change me. And let's just ask Him and let's just seek His face. And if you really, I'd love even for us to pray for you, even as some of us just come and just pray. And as you stand, even I'll just walk around the room even, and maybe some of the leaders with me, just to go around where guys are standing. And man, pure change, eh?